Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Hi there again. Welcome to a brand new edition of Rico Bronya. The New York Mets have many holes to fill during this offseason, but the area that features the most questions, the most possibilities, is starting pitching. And it's funny, you go back a year ago, as we sat here and we did Rico's and we talked about the offseason and we talked about which pitchers they needed to add, we kind of knew that this offseason, the one a year later, the one we're sitting at right now, was going to be such a pivotal one, because last year the Mets put together a very transition rotation. And the hope that we had was that, A, they would hit on some of those short-term deals. They certainly did. But then, B, also develop enough young arms that when we had this discussion that we're about to have, deep diving into the starting pitching free agency, they would have a couple of guys that you would kind of put in the corner and say, hey, they're in the rotation and we feel good about them. And as we sit here and we take a look at the free agent market, which is what this episode is dedicated to doing, I think most of us feel very comfortable that the Mets have two guys locked into rotation spots in 2025. And there was some uncertainty about that if we did this podcast a year ago trying to project ahead. I think the only guy that we had any level of confidence in was Kodai Senga, just based on his contract. We needed one or two guys to step up and demand, hey, I'm going to be in the rotation next year based on my performance. I think we got that with one guy this past year in David Peterson. I think we had other guys pitch relatively well to at least make you think that they can be a part of that swing portion of a rotation, you know, possibly a sixth guy or possibly just a swing man. I think Jose Budo, in the limited time he started earlier in the season and with the way he pitched in the bullpen, becomes a factor as a swing guy. And even Tylor Megill, as much as we may not love him, look, I don't view Tylor Megill as a once every 5 day rotation arm. I don't think he's proven that, but as a swing arm, sure, why not? But that's it. You know, a lot of the other younger arms were not able to step up. Christian Scott came up. We thought maybe he was going to lock down a rotation spot. Unfortunately, he got hurt, and he will not be a factor in 2025. The other younger arms that we've watched develop through AA and AAA are guys to keep an eye on in 2025 and can certainly be factors in 2025, but absolutely did not lock down a rotation spot. So as we go into this offseason, and before we get to all the different names, we're going to get to all of them, all the different free agent options that the Mets have. And don't worry, we'll have a future Rico in which we discuss trade options. So we will hit on all the different starting pitching possibilities, but this is dedicated to just free agency. I think we need to know where we're coming from. So let's start with what the Mets starters did last year. And I think this is a really big surprise. In fact, even after watching this full season, if I asked you guys this, almost like a trivia question, and I said, all right, guys, innings pitched from starting pitchers, right? That's the stat. Forget ERA for a second. Forget walks. We knew that was abysmal. Getting innings out of your starting pitching, where do the Mets rank 1 through 30 in 2024? And that answer may surprise you, because I thought early in the season we were dealing with so many four-inning performances where the Mets were so heavily reliant on going to their bullpen. Well, once this season ended, and obviously the end of the year had a lot to do with it, the New York Mets finished fifth in Major League Baseball in terms of innings from their starting pitchers. Fifth. Only the Mariners, the Royals, the Braves, and the Phillies got more innings from their starters. The Mets finished fifth at 192 and two-thirds innings. By the way, what I find fascinating about that is, let's do the math. So there's 162 games in a season. If you're getting 892 innings from your starters, that adds up to about 5.5 innings per start, which is considered high, which is kind of depressing, but the reality. So the Mets are coming off a year in which the stats show you they actually did a really good job in terms of getting innings from their starting pitching. Now, if you want to look at ERA from a starting pitching staff, the Mets finished 12th at 3.91, which I think far exceeded any of our expectations. And that's what the challenge is of this offseason. So you've got Kodai Senga and you've got David Peterson. Let's put them to the side. The three main starting pitching free agents that the Mets have in Jose Quintana, Luis Severino, and Sean Manaea made every start. And I think that's the number one challenge the Mets have going into this offseason. You are looking to replace 170 innings, 182 innings, and 191 innings. That's a lot of innings to replace from three starting pitchers. 170 and a third from Jose Quintana, 182 from Luis Severino, and 180 and two-thirds innings from Sean Manaea. That's 534 innings the Mets are either looking to replace or bring those guys back and hope they replicate. Now, I think that number, because I think this is a math equation before we get to the names, that math is not completely accurate because you have to assume, at least I'm going to assume, that Kodai Senga is not pitching five innings, that his inning total will explode. So even if it's maybe not 180 innings the way Severino and Manaea got to, let's say it's 140 innings. That is still 135 innings that you could take away from the 534 supplied from those three guys. The other assumption, not as safe, but an assumption I'd like to make as we build this rotation, is that David Peterson, who missed the first few months of the season, will throw more than 121 innings. I don't know if that number is going to be significantly more. You know, he goes out and he makes 31 starts and he picks up where he left off. Yeah, that number could be 180, 190, and you're talking about another 60, 70 inning difference. I would venture to say it's probably a 40 inning difference if we're trying to be conservative. So now all of a sudden, without making a move, just based on what you're assuming, and I get assuming can get you in a lot of trouble, makes you an ass out of yourself. But again, trying to be conservative on this, you are adding significant innings from Senga and Peterson that will eat in to the 534 innings you're looking to replace from the big three of Quintana, Severino, and Manaea. Now, where did the rest of the starts come from last year? They got 47 starts from what I like to call swing guys slash fill-in guys. Those guys were Tyler McGill, Christian Scott, Jose Budo, Adrian Hauser, Paul Blackburn, Joey Lucchesi only made two starts. And then believe it or not, I have to include his name because he did make a start, Julio Teheran. I think that number is a very fair, kind of accurate number on what you're going to need from, let's say, your sixth man slash swing guys, because you can't assume everybody's going to stay healthy. I thought the Mets last year were, despite the Senga stuff, relatively lucky when it came to health. I know that's nuts when you look at the supposed ace not pitching at all this season, but you got 31 starts out of Quintana, 31 starts out of Seve, and 32 starts out of Sean Manaea. So I think those swing starts, I think, is a very kind of accurate number, and I think you almost have to expect that you're looking to get 47 starts out of the swing guy, some of which are currently on the team. We mentioned Budo and McGill as options to do it again. And as we get into the free agent options, there are certainly swing candidates when it comes to free agency. So that's what the Mets are looking to replace going into this offseason. And it's challenging. I think it's a lot more challenging than we thought, because I figured, and I think most of us figured, we would be going into this offseason from a worse position in terms of what you're looking to replace. It's a big surprise that you're looking to replace 534 innings. And again, when I use the word replace, it doesn't mean you can't bring those guys back. But if you do bring those guys back, let's just say the Mets decide, you know what, we're going to run it back. We're not going to change anything about this rotation. We're going to bring back Quintana, bring back Severino, and bring back Manaea. Do you think you're getting 94 starts from those three guys? It's kind of lucky. And by the way, whoever they add, you have that same risk, because there's so much risk associated with starting pitchers. So those three guys are available in free agency. We'll put them aside because we know about them very well. Let's get to the targets. To me, there are three aces. Okay, three guys that kind of fit that top billing. And Roki Sasaki, I'm not going to include. I think Roki Sasaki is very different It is not a bidding war for Sasaki. It's merely trying to convince him to come to your team. And considering how little money he's going to make and considering he has team control until 2030, I don't care what team you are. I don't care what your payroll restrictions are. I don't care how deep your rotation is. You should go after Roki Sasaki. To me, it's not even a debate. We're not talking about significant money. So no matter what you think of him, or you're concerned he's not going to be able to stay healthy, or you don't like the fact he's probably going to have to be in a six-man rotation, give me a break. You're talking about a guy that's only dealing with international bonus pool money. He's going to make the league minimum the first 2 years. You have team control over 2030. So I would put Roki Sasaki on the side because I think everybody should go after him. So here are your three big aces: Corbin Burnes, Blake Snell, and Max Fried. We did a deep dive on Corbin Burnes. You can go back into the Rico Bronya archives where we talked about, you know, really everything about Corbin Burnes, his age, what to expect from him moving forward, some of the peripheral numbers that are going down on him. Bottom line is Corbin Burnes has this edge on the other aces. He's younger. Now, I'm not going to say significantly. We're not talking Juan Soto young, but Corbin Burnes this season will be 30 years old. He will have a 30-year-old season, as I like to call it. There's no birthday in the middle of the season. He is a 30-year-old starting pitcher for the entirety of the season. He's also shown you over the last 3 years that he can be very reliable. He's gone out and made 30-plus starts the last 3 years. And to me, the concern about Burnes is more long-term than it is what you're going to get out of him next year. To me, Corbin Burnes is the most reliable replacement for the innings we're talking about than anybody else out there. The other option is Blake Snell. I give Blake Snell a lot of credit. I do. I was not high on Blake Snell a year ago. I had no interest in Blake Snell a year ago. And there are a couple of factors about Blake Snell that have changed. Number one, the qualifying offer. Like, that's gone. Because Blake Snell had the qualifying offer last year, there's no draft pick attachment to him. Now, I get it. That's not the end-all be-all when going after a free agent. But that was a negative last year for me with Blake Snell. I pointed that out a lot. I was not interested in having to give up a draft pick, especially on a short-term deal for Blake Snell. That is no longer a factor. So to ignore that would be irresponsible. That's gone. The other thing I give Snell a lot of credit for is even though he missed time last year, he only made 20 starts, which we'll get to in a second, he backed up the performance from a year earlier. Granted, it was another pseudo contract year. He had the opt out, so he wasn't locked into a long-term deal, but it showed me something that Blake Snell was able to back up one of the best seasons of his career. He also brought his walk numbers down significantly. I had major concerns about Blake Snell's ability to throw strikes consistently while he still walks plenty of guys. And I think that will always be kind of a part of him. He did bring that number down significantly last year. The other thing Blake Snell did, he got better as the season went on. He signed late, as we all recall, and I think naturally there was going to be an injury factor and a struggle factor early on with Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery too. He ended up making 20 starts. He ended up finishing with a 3.12 ERA, which is all very solid. But in his last 12 starts, Blake Snell pitched to a 1.45 ERA. He was dominant. He also missed time. And I think it's very important to look at, well, why did he miss time? Blake Snell has a recurring abductor strain issue. This is an issue he's dealt with throughout his career. It happened back in September of 2021. He had the abductor strain. It happened in April of 2022. And it happened again in April of 2024. This injury is something Snell has dealt with throughout his career, and it's forced him to miss time. As he gets older, you look at something like that, and you wonder, all right, if I'm going to give Blake Snell a five-year contract, because I think that's what he's going to try to get, do I feel comfortable with him? Age-wise, Blake Snell is 32 years old, so 2 years older than Corbin Burnes. So when talking about years and factoring in years, you got to think about that. He's got a longer injury history than Burnes. And he's also 2 years older. So if you're talking about a similar length in contract, despite some of the peripheral numbers going down on Burnes, I feel better about Corbin Burnes. But I am more open to signing Blake Snell this year than I was last year. But at 32 years old, with an injury history, I still have a wonder and a fear about how he would pitch in New York. My attitude towards Blake Snell is he's not my number one option, but I'm certainly more open to it. I wouldn't give him a five-year contract. I would try to give him a big money three-year deal. Is that going to be enough? Probably not. I think a team is eventually going to give Blake Snell that long-term contract. So I don't know how you guys feel about Snell, but I am a little bit more open to it, but still hesitant to give him that long-term contract. Then you've got Max Fried. I've been trying to kind of put my finger on why I hesitate on Max.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Max Fried. And I've got a few people reach out to me and say, I don't understand. You don't talk about Max Fried in the same way you talk about some of the other races. Why is that? Max Fried, by the way, is about to turn 31 years old, so a year older than Corbin Burns, nothing serious. I think my concern with Fried is sort of, do I think he can pitch in New York? I think that's one thing, and you can have that about everybody. I mean, you can have that about Corbin Burns, too. I also think, and this is so unfair, but I always want to be honest. Now, sometimes I come from a very, you know, nice, I'm looking at the numbers, I'm being smart, I'm keeping emotion out. I think I admit a part of my concern with Max Fried is that he's a Brave. Is that, I don't know, I kind of have that fear, even though he's not Tom Glavine and 40 years old, that the best has already been seen from Max Fried. Now, the reality is with Max Fried, you go all the way back to the pandemic year, when he pitches, he's great. When he pitches, he's one of the better pitchers, especially as a lefty, in all of baseball. He doesn't walk nearly as much guys as Blake Snell. He also doesn't strike out nearly as many guys. But you look at his numbers over the years, 28 starts, 3.04 ERA in 21, the year they won the World Series. 30 starts, 2.48 ERA in 22, finished second in the Cy Young voting. He missed a big part of 2023. I think that's a part of my concern, too. Is he going to be able to stay healthy? He missed half the year that year. But when he pitched, he was great, 2.55 ERA. And then last year made 29 starts, which is essentially a full year, 174 innings. The innings were looking to replace, and he pitched to a 3.25 ERA and was an all-star. I can't say that I wouldn't want Max Fried. I think he definitely belongs in this top line category. I guess I have the irrational fear that he's a Brave, and I admit that's irrational. And then the fear of, is he going to stay healthy over those 5 years? And while you can say that about any starting pitcher, I feel more comfortable about Corbin Burns and his track record staying healthy than I do about Max Fried and I do about Blake Snell. But if the Mets walked away with any of those three guys, I think there would be genuine excitement from us as Mets fans. I do. I think there would be that, all right, we have ourselves an ace at the top of the rotation. So those are the three top line guys. I would be excited about any of them. But I think if I'm ranking them in terms of who I would want 1 through 3, it's clearly Corbin Burns number one. I'd probably go Max Fried number two, despite my irrational Brave worry. And I think age has a lot to do with it, that 1 year difference. I feel like he's less up and down than Blake Snell. I feel like the control makes me feel better about how he would age further into his career than Blake Snell. But I would put both Snell and Fried slightly below Corbin Burns, or not even slightly, below Corbin Burns when it comes to the aces I want. When it comes to years, I think anything more than 4 or 5 years and you're posing a major risk. But I've laid this out before. I believe that one starting pitcher in your rotation locked in on a long-term deal is worth the risk. I think once you start signing multiple guys, like I would not advise signing two of those guys to five-year contracts. I wouldn't want to be in bed with too many long-term contracts when it comes to pitchers. All right, let's go to tier two. I'm going to call this the rehab pitchers. You've got guys that I don't know how much you can kind of factor in that they're going to contribute in 2025. They're more looking beyond that. And the guy who leads that pack is Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber is still only 29 years old. He'll be 30 in May. He got off to this brilliant start last year. He was unhittable. I know it was such a small sample size, but I lived it. He was on my fantasy team. One of the main reasons why my fantasy team went nowhere when Shane Bieber went down, you know, three starts into the year. And then he needed Tommy John surgery. So when you think about the calendar with Bieber, it is reasonable to think he can contribute in 2025, but it would be more later in the season. I would be interested in Shane Bieber on one of those one plus one deals. Has Bieber done enough in his career where he's going to get a long-term contract coming off Tommy John surgery? I don't think so. I think he's going to have to settle either on a one-year contract or a two-year contract. And I would have some level of interest in him because of A, how good I think he is, and then B, I think he can contribute a little bit in 2025. You just can't expect much in the first half of the season. When you look at when he had the surgery, you try to compare it to DeGrom, who had the Tommy John surgery 2 years ago or a year ago and then came back. It was late in the season, and if the Rangers were in a pennant race or if DeGrom was a Met, it would have been perfect. He would have come back and had a legitimate chance to contribute. So my level of interest in Bieber is on a one-plus-one deal. The other guy is John Means. John Means had a second Tommy John surgery in June. I would think there is less of a chance that Means can contribute in 2025 than Shane Bieber. He's also, you know, 32 in April. He's not as proven as Shane Bieber. But yeah, I mean, if you believe, especially in the pitching lab that the Mets have, and really tapping into a guy who A, is coming off an injury, and B, making them better than ever upon recovering, then I'm not against it on a one-plus-one deal. But I think the difference between Means and Bieber is that I would not expect Means to contribute at all in 2025, considering it's a second Tommy John surgery and considering he had that surgery in June. The other guy is Jose Urquidy. I think we mentioned him briefly in the mailbag edition. Urquidy is 29, 30 in May. He had Tommy John surgery in June as well. Same kind of thing. It's just unlikely to expect him to contribute much. Maybe it's the last month or two of the year. And I think there's a big difference between Jose Urquidy and Shane Bieber in terms of what that reward would be. So you want to bring a guy in off of an injury. I'm not against it. We talked last year about them doing that with, what's his name from Milwaukee? the name slips my brain. I'm not against it, but when we're trying to build a championship team in 2025, you want guys that can contribute. You want to maximize guys, especially when we're talking about all the innings that they need to replace. All right, let's get to the next level of guys. We've got Nate Eovaldi. Nate Eovaldi is 35 years old. He's a little bit older. Nate's kind of similar in a way to some of these other pitchers we talked about, where when he pitches, which isn't all the time, because the problem is he has an injury history. When Nate pitches, he's a mid to high three ERA guy. You know you can hand him the ball in a big spot. He'll be a bulldog. He'll eat some innings for you. The problem is when you look back at the last 3 years, here are the numbers. He made 20 starts in 2022 to a 3.87 ERA. He made 25 starts in 2023 to a 3.6 ERA. And then last year, he almost pitched the full year, 29 starts. I almost consider that a full year. 3.8 ERA. So you see the numbers are very similar. There isn't a lot of up and down. I think you worry that at 35 years old, those innings, the amount of starts that he's made over the last 3 years may dip down a little bit. I'd be interested in Nate Eovaldi on a short-term deal. I think if you can get him on a one-year contract, I would run. I would love it. I think he kind of fits that, hey, let me see if I can maximize 1 year out of him. But the fact he's 35 years old, giving him anything longer than that would be very concerning. Another guy is Nick Pivetta, who's 32 years old this season. One thing I like about Pivetta is that he pitches, is that he's reliable. You look at him over the last few years. In 2021, he went out, made 30 starts, pitched to a 4.5 ERA. That's the difference. I mean, he's not Nate Eovaldi. He's not as good. In 2022, he made 33 starts, again, pitched to a 4.5 ERA. In 2023, he did both. He pitched out of the bullpen, and he also made starts to a low 4 ERA, and then last year made 26 starts to a low 4 ERA. So he's a back of the rotation arm. You have to understand that. Like, you know, that's not a guy who's coming in and he's going to put it all together with the upside that a Sean Manaea had. See, Manaea and Severino had the upside dream. Pivetta's more rock solid, back of the rotation, eat me innings, because a part of this game is eating those innings. Seve and Manaea were great. Quintana wasn't great really until September when he brought his numbers down. But I think a part of this is getting innings, even if it's a low 4 ERA, which is not quite as good as the three guys you're replacing. I give you a very intriguing name. Once a Met, always a Met. Trevor Williams. Remember Trevor Williams? Trevor Williams was the swing guy a couple of years ago. He'll be 33 in April. He was awesome for the Washington Nationals last year. He was great. He was one of the better pitchers in baseball. When we were talking about Seth Lugo being a Cy Young finalist, very quietly, Trevor Williams was with the Nationals pitching to a 2.03 ERA through 13 starts. The problem was he got hurt. It was a flexor strain in the middle of June, and it wiped him out for the rest of the season. If he was on a contending team, does he come back and pitch in September? It's certainly a possibility. But I'm intrigued by Trevor Williams. Again, as a back-of-the-rotation arm. These are back-of-the-rotation arms. And I think that's one of the challenges. We gave you the top-line guys in Fried and Burns and Snell. I think there is a drop-off when you get to these guys. But these are the innings guys. Trevor Williams on a short-term deal, because I think he's going to have to take another 1 year to contract. I mean, he pitched great, but I don't think 12 starts is enough to move someone to give you a 3 or 4 year contract. Here's another guy that I'm very mixed about because I did not want him at the trade deadline. I don't think he's very good, but he was great after the trade deadline, and that's Yusei Kikuchi. Kikuchi's 33. He'll be 34 in June. When he was in Toronto, he made 22 starts and pitched to a 4.75 ERA. He goes to the Astros and pitches to a 2.70 ERA. So something really clicked for Kikuchi when he went to Houston. Lefty, another guy that I'm not giving a long-term deal to, but if I can get him on a 1 or 2 year deal, I think what he did in the second half in the middle of a pennant race with the Astros, certainly appealing. Then you've got Alex Wood. Alex Wood is 34 years old, and he was effing horrible last year with the Oakland A's. In fact, he got hurt, needed surgery. I wouldn't touch Alex Wood. You want to tell me it's a one-year deal? Again, trying to fit that mold of last year with Seve and Minaya, I guess I expect nothing from him. If you look at him over the last few years, he's fallen way off. So my interest in Alex Wood would be nil. Martin Perez. Martin Perez pitched very well with the Padres after he was traded. Remember, he was with Pittsburgh first half of the year. Perez is 34 years old. He had a very good year with Texas a couple of years ago. Pitched well after the trade deadline. It's another guy that, as a fifth option, as a fifth spot in the rotation option, I guess I'm okay with, but I don't expect anything huge from. I'd give him a short-term deal. Andrew Haney has had a couple of very solid seasons over the last couple of years. He's 34 in June, 33 years old right now. I'm scared off by Haney because of what he did with the Yankees. And maybe that's not fair. Maybe it wasn't a New York thing with why he was so bad with the Yankees. But Andrew Haney, very quietly, 23 starts in 23, pitched to a 4.15 ERA, and then made all 31 starts last year to a 4.28 ERA. I'm scared off. I don't think I touch him. And I think he's going to get a multi-year deal. I'm not giving him a multi-year deal. Matthew Boyd. I'm very intrigued by Matthew Boyd. Matthew Boyd has barely pitched the last 5 years. Let's call him Luis Severino. He's barely pitched. He's a soft-tossing left-hander. He ends up in Cleveland last year and was very impressive. Short period of time, didn't pitch a lot, but was pretty damn impressive. I love Matthew Boyd on a one-year contract, you know, because I don't think he can get much more than that. A one-year contract, battle for a rotation spot, and I could see him giving you that huge reward. He's barely pitched. He made 15 starts in 2023. He was terrible. He barely pitched in 2022. He pitched a little bit in 21, not much in 2020. I could see Matthew Boyd, especially off the 8 starts he made with Cleveland, as one of those flyer pickups who you hit on, who all of a sudden is like the big surprise of 2025. All right, here's a guy that I am very, very high on that is towards the top of my list in terms of high reward, low risk. And that's Walker Buehler of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Walker Buehler is 30. He will turn 31 in July. Just to give you the numbers, because we think of the postseason. He made 16 starts coming off of another massive injury. It was a Tommy John. I think it was his second Tommy John. He pitched to a 5.38 ERA. That's after missing all of 2023 and part of 2022, half of 2022. So he hadn't pitched in a year and a half. Comes back, struggles. The Dodgers have no other choice come playoff time. And we saw the good of Walker Buehler. We also saw the toughness of Walker Buehler in terms of closing out the Yankees in that game five. I think Walker Buehler, especially if I can get him on a two-year deal, give him an opt-out after one, you give it a little bit more time after the injury. I think of Zach Wheeler. Think about how many years it took Zach after he had Tommy John for him to fully recover. Missed a lot of time. Missed a ton of time. I mean, he basically missed three full years after having Tommy John surgery. And then when he initially came back, he really struggled. Then he put it all together. I think that Walker Buehler, especially based on his track record, has a real chance to do that. Keep this in mind with Zach Wheeler. He misses all of 2015. He was younger, and I do think that's a factor here. Wheeler was 25 years old when he had Tommy John surgery. Buehler had it at 29, 28, so a few years older. Wheeler missed all of 2015, missed all of 2016, okay? 2 years, zero pitching. 2017 sucks. Pitches half the season to a 5.2 ERA. It was 2018. It was 3 years after Tommy John surgery where he hit. I think Walker Buehler, when you look at him having the surgery in 2022, missing all of 23, pitching part of 24, not being very effective, I think 2025 has a real chance to be a breakout year for Buehler. I think the question you got to ask yourself is, A, are the Dodgers willing to let him go? I think they are, only because look at their rotation. Otani's going to pitch next year. Glasnow's going to pitch next year. Gonsolin's going to pitch next year. They're going after Roky Sasaki. I don't know how much room they have for Walker Buehler. So if you let him go, now it comes down to, all right, and I'm going to stereotype here. Buehler's from Lexington, Kentucky. Is he going to have interest in coming to New York on a one-year make good contract? I don't know, but I'm very high on Buehler. And remember, I'm not bragging. I'm going to give you facts. Last year, there were two starting pitchers I was very high on for bounce back years. Do you guys remember, if you're a loyal Ricoer, do you remember the two guys? One of which we got, Luis Severino. I've been high on Sevy for 3 years. I was wrong 2 years ago when he was the worst pitcher in baseball. And I thought I was relatively right with the Mets. That was one of the guys I targeted long before the Mets signed him. The other guy was Jack Flaherty. And let's admit it, Jack Flaherty had a pretty good year with Detroit and LA. More on him in a few minutes. Walker Buehler is my bounce back for 2025. I would be ecstatic if the Mets could get Buehler on a short-term deal. Ecstatic. I think he's got a chance to bounce back in a major, major way. If you gave me Corbin Burnes, Walker Buehler, and then one of the back-end rotation guys, I would be, besides Sasaki, which is obvious, we'd all want Sasaki. I just don't think they're getting him. That'd be a dream starting pitching offseason, a realistic dream pitching offseason. Now, let me get to Flaherty. My concern with Jack, I loved him last year. And by the way, Jack's 29. So he's one of the younger starting pitchers available. Everyone I mentioned is 30 or is going to be 30 at some point during the regular season. Jack's 29. He turns 30 in the middle of October. So he's a playoff 30, which means his regular season, and this is the only main starting pitcher available who fits this bill, is still in his 20s. Jack last year, Detroit, LA, 28 starts, 3.17 ERA. I like him. I'm scared off because I think he's going to get paid now. That's my problem. I liked Flaherty on a short-term contract. I liked him as a bounce-back candidate. I do not like him now when I think there's a chance, and maybe I'm nuts. I think he could get 5 years. I really do. He's 29 years old. He's coming off a very solid season. I think it's on the table. He's getting a long, long, long-term contract. No gracias. So my interest in Flaherty has changed based on the market. Let's get to some more guys. Kyle Gibson. I was a big Kyle Gibson guy last year, mainly because he's an innings eater. And he did that. I mean, he did exactly what I expected. He pitched to a 4.2 ERA, not great, but he made 30 starts. And I do believe that that's one thing that's really important, especially if you believe in Senga and Peterson and they get an ace, right? So now you've got three guys at the top of the rotation you feel pretty good about. Then I think my expectations towards the back end is not pitching to a 3 ERA. It's, can you get me 180 innings? And Kyle Gibson's a guy who can do that. Nick Martinez is also a very intriguing piece. He's 34, turning 35 in August. From August on this past year, he made 11 starts and pitched to a 2.4 ERA. Nick Martinez on a short-term contract, if that's what I can get him for, nice candidate back of the rotation. Alex Cobb, 37. He got hurt last year, didn't pitch until August. Then he got hurt again in the postseason. I don't have a lot of interest in him. Lance Lynn is old. He's 37, 38 in May. He did make 23 starts last year. He pitched to a high 3 ERA. I think he fits in that back of the rotation category. Patrick Corbin. Unless the Mets see something in Patrick Corbin where they're like, hey, we've been sitting back for 4 years since they won the World Series. We know it can fix Patrick Corbin. No, thank you. I've seen so much bad out of Corbin that, you know, even on a minor league contract, I would get a stomach ache. Michael Lorenzen, 33 years old. We've seen him pitch out of the bullpen. We've seen him pitch in the rotation. He's been relatively effective. Back of the rotation, no problem on a short-term deal. Spencer Turnbull actually pitched well in the rotation last year. Got bounced out of the bullpen. Plus, he's a fellow ginger. He got hurt late in the year at a lat strain. Another back of the rotation guy. Frankie Montas. No. Frankie's 32 years old. He did make 30 starts last year. He pitched to a 4.80 ERA with Cincinnati and Milwaukee. I saw enough from Frankie Montas. No, thank you. Wade Miley. Yeah. Anthony Desclafani did not pitch at all in 2024. He was trending in an interesting direction before he got hurt. I would take a flyer on Desclafani. I don't have an issue with a flyer on him. But remember, if you're taking flyers on a guy like that or any of the injured pitchers we mentioned earlier, I think you have to do that while already securing two reliable arms. So at least you're already going into spring training with four locked-in starters and then your guys that could be a part of the rotation youth-wise, and then you're throwing another arm into the mix. I'll tell you another guy. I'd be very careful, and this is a project. That I would be okay with bringing in, taking a look at, and thinking, let me give him more time. I could see him figuring it out. And that's Mike Soroka. If you remember, Mike Soroka's career basically ended at Citi Field during the pandemic when he tore his Achilles. It was a very, very horrible injury to see. And he's never recovered. Then he did it again. I think he was walking through the locker room and he turned his foot the wrong way, and it all went bad. Soroka is only 27 years old. So I mentioned Jack Flaherty being the youngest guy. I put Soroka in a different category because he's such a wild card, but he is the youngest. He's 27. He'll be 28 in August. He pitched last year for Chicago in the rotation and in the bullpen, and it was Anthony Young-like. He was 0-10 with a 4.70 ERA. That is a project. If you believe in your pitching lab, if you believe in giving this kid just more time to recover, I would bring him in and see what he's got. But you can't expect anything out of him. Now, you can't bring him in expecting much. But Mike Soroka is one of those project signings that I would take a look at. Now, Pete Hoffman has compiled his list of starting pitching, and he broke them up into tiers. Tier number one is the number one target. He's got his backup plan to the number one target. He's got open to the right deal. If we miss on the first two tiers, he's got one-year deals, mid-back of the rotation guys. He's got one-year fifth starter tiers. He's got one cheap year. Let's see what you have in the tank tier. He's got two-year deal eyeing 2026 tier. He's got minor league invite tier. He's got they have to pay us to be on the roster tier. And by the way, I left those guys out. I wanted to give Hoff the chance to do that. And then I've got pay him to not play for the Mets tier. Pete Hoffman made 11 tiers. Very impressive. So let's go through this real quick and see where he stands. His number one target, in agreement with me, is Corbin Burns. His number two target is Blake Snell. So differing than me, he puts Snell ahead of Max Fried. His number three tier is Sean Manaea. Now, I have not included our guys. We'll get to our guys in a second. But for Pete, Sean Manaea is his third option after Burns and Snell. His tier four, open if the deal is right, and I miss on two of the first three, is Max Fried, Roky Sasaki, Shane Bieber, Jack Flaherty, and Walker Buehler. I love you, Hoff, and he'll have a chance to defend himself. We'll have another RICO coming up late Friday night, and we can argue some of this. They're not the same. I'm not putting Max Fried in the same tier as Jack Flaherty. I'm not putting Shane Bieber in the same tier as Max Fried, but that's him. That's Hoff's opinion. Tier five, the one-year deal, back into the rotation. He goes Seve, Nate Eovaldi, Yusei Kikuchi. His tier six is one-year deal, fifth starter, so I guess further back than those other names. He goes Nick Martinez, Lorenzen, Kyle Gibson, Frankie Montas, I wouldn't include him, Martin Perez, Andrew Haney, Jose Quintana, Nick Pivetta. I think Quintana's better than those guys. I really do. Tier seven, one-year cheap deal. Let's see what you have in the tank. Charlie Morton, who I did not mention, I had him written down. Charlie Morton is so fascinating because he makes every start, but he's really freaking old. And that's my hesitation with Charlie Morton. How much does he have in the tank? He's 41 years old. So he's going to have a year in which he pitches as a 41-year-old. But listen to this. He's had six straight seasons, taking out 2020, of course, in which he's made 30 or more starts. Isn't that crazy? Six straight seasons, 30 or more starts. And even last year, I know the Braves kind of dumped him out of the rotation late in the year. He pitched to a 4.19 ERA. So I do think, despite the age, Charlie Morton fits that reliability category. I think the issue is, well, at 41 years old, how much longer is he going to have that? So he goes Charlie Morton, Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn. Alex Cobb, I can't put in there. I just think, I mean, the guy barely pitched last year. Tier eight is two-year deals eyeing 2026. I already mentioned these guys are on the same page, Jose Urquidy and John Means. Tier nine is minor league invites, Matt Boyd. Boyd, I'd give more than a minor league invite. Trevor Williams, also, I'd give more than a minor league invite. Those are one-year deals. I would move them up a tier. But the other guys I'm with you on, Alex Wood, Mike Soroka, Danny Duffy, who hasn't pitched in like 5 years, and Brad Keller. Tier 10. This is the fun part. And I save this for you, Hoff. Tier 10. They have to pay us to be on the roster. Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. Well, Verlander's done. Like, I now have the belief, and I hate to say that because I don't have ill will towards Justin Verlander. I don't think any of us really do. He's one of those mercenaries that was just like, whatever. I don't think there's any emotion one way or the other. I feel bad because he's a Hall of Famer. You watched him in Houston. He's done. And it's understandable. He's in his 40s. So Verlander, I wouldn't touch because he's done. Scherzer may not be done, but there's two issues. Number one, he can't stay healthy. So maybe that's considered done. But I think when he pitches, he can still be relatively effective. And then B, I just never want to see him again. I don't trust him. So I am completely in agreement with you. They would have to pay us to be on the roster. Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. And finally, tier 11, I would pay him to not play for the New York Mets, Patrick Corbin. I think we've seen enough of Patrick Corbin to say no gracias. So in conclusion, assuming the deals are right, I want the Mets to add 2.5 starting pitchers to go along with David Peterson and Kodai Senga. This doesn't include the trade market, which we will have a completely separate podcast for, to focus on those potential options. But if the Mets are just dipping into free agency, they are not trading from their booty of prospects. They are just buying the way they did a year ago. I think that I want 2.5 guys. I want an ace. I want an innings eater. And I would want the high upside project. Of our options, of our guys, Severino, Quintana, and Minaya, I think those three guys, they don't necessarily fit, but here's where they do fit. Sean Minaya is the closest thing to an ace. You can talk yourself into Minaya second half, changing the arm angle, being the ace. He's not Corbin Burns. He's not Max Fried. It's a little bit more convincing than reality, but you could at least try to convince yourself Minaya can be that guy. I think Severino is more of the innings guy, assuming he can stay healthy, which is a tough assumption, but he did supply innings a year ago. And I think Quintana is the innings guy. None of those three guys are projects anymore. In fact, I would trust Quintana over Severino when it comes to innings. I think Seve may have more of the upside than Quintana, but I think if you're just looking at the innings like we talked about, Quintana would be a better option to return. I also kind of think Quintana's going to get less. Now, if Seve comes back on the qualifying offer, great. One-year deal, fantastic. I'm not against those three guys coming back. I'm not against them, but I think it would be the combination of, if I can get Burns, do I go Burns, Quintana, project? If I get Burns, does that price me away from Manaea if Manaea is going to get a four-year contract? So that's where I look at our own free agents. I'm not opposed to bringing them back. It really comes down to the combination. So what I would love is Corbin Burns. I know many of you guys disagree. Maybe it's Max Fried or Blake Snell, or maybe you don't want an ace, or maybe it's Sean Manaea. Me, I want Corbin Burns. Number two, I want a guy that can eat innings. I think you've got a few options in that regard. I think Kyle Gibson is an option. I think Jose Quintana returning is an option. I think Luis Severino is an option when it comes to just eating innings. I think, you know, do I put Nate Eovaldi in that? He doesn't pitch enough to really be in that. And then the high upside guy to me is Walker Buehler. And it's not close. I don't think there's anybody else that has that low-risk contract, high-upside return that Walker Buehler has. And then I would want to add, when I say a half, someone else who's in that swing. I don't want to say Adrian Houser because Adrian Houser sucked for us last year, but a guy who can be in the rotation and then transition to the bullpen. Let me see what kind of contract Trevor Williams gets, because Trevor Williams may fit that regard. So my dream offseason would be Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler, and Jose Quintana, or Sean Manaea if you get him on a cheaper deal. One of the three Mets returns, Manaea, Sevy, Quintana, Walker Buehler, Corbin Burns, and now we're cooking with gas. That, of course, does not include the trade market. And don't worry, coming up on a future Rico Bronya, we examine all the potential starting pitching targets when it comes to the trade market. Any feedback, disagreements, agreements, starting pitchers you definitely want to add, starting pitchers you don't want to add, you can always email us, thericob@gmail.com, and we'll certainly break it down in our next mailbag edition. On the very next edition of the Rico Bronya, we'll do a deep dive on relievers that are in free agency. We'll also be handing out our awards from the 2024 season. That's coming up on the Sunday night edition of Rico Bronya. We appreciate you listening, downloading, and subscribing. Thank you for partaking in another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.